think when they asked me, was I going to be preaching, that I was going to be preaching, but I had a stirring in my heart all week long about tonight's service. And if the opportunity was given, I wanted to be sure and be at the place that the Lord would have me to be. And when he asked me yesterday, it just literally settled where I needed to be. And the Lord had stirred something in my heart that he had stirred several years ago. A message that I have preached before, a thought that I have had before. But if it's the truth of God's word, it's always the truth of God's word. Amen. And just because it's been spoke before doesn't mean that it doesn't need to be spoke again. Amen. And so Genesis chapter 35 is where I want to be tonight, just for the next few minutes. And I want to talk to you something. It has nothing to do with baptism. Amen. Coop and I, we have talked, and he understands that water baptism don't save you. Amen. He was saved that second Sunday in October. We seen that little fella, him come up to that altar broken, amen, just in pieces and desiring to have a Savior in his life, amen. And that little fella, I don't know what it was. I've said it a lot of times, don't know how to explain it, but I want to tell you, it's a scary thing when you look at your baby boy's face and you see fear consuming him, amen. And something had a hold of that young man. He laid in that altar and he prayed, and his mother and I, we prayed, and we asked God to save him, and he was repenting and he was asking God to save him, and he would get done, and I would look at him and fear was still consuming him. Something had him bound up, and we prayed again and we prayed again and we prayed again, and we went and got the Bible, and I opened it up, and that little fella was reading through that book with me, and we're going through the book of Romans, and this little fella I'm talking about is grown man praying in this altar, tears flowing, just weeping, pouring his heart out to a resurrected living Savior, and he gets done, and I look at him and I said, "Son, are you saved now?" And he said, "Daddy, I don't know." And that's when I felt it necessary to call other men of God in the church to come up and lay hands on him and pray for him. And he turned to his mother there after a few minutes and told her that he had got saved. And glory to God, we was in that little old bitty country church shouting to the Lord, thanking him for saving his soul, amen. And I believe with all of my heart, as we preach this morning, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which is in Christ Jesus, amen. And glory to God, I'm thankful that we didn't have to wait till tonight to secure his salvation, amen, and for him to know that he was heaven born and heaven bound, amen. We're just here tonight to show you what the Lord has done in his life, amen. I don't know what was going on that day in his life. I don't know what had a hold of him, but I know when that little fella gave his heart and life to Christ Jesus, he broke those bonds, amen, and he set that fearful little boy free, glory to God, and I'm thankful tonight that he is born again. In Genesis chapter 35, it's dealing with an issue that we've all dealt with, I deal with, as manly, amen, and as masculine, Brother BJ, as I try to be, amen. I try to lead my family with boldness. I try to work and be masculine. Ain't nothing wrong, men, I want to say, with being manly, amen. Let me tell you that. We live in a day and time where they want to feminize everything and everyone, amen. Have a bunch of soft men behind the pulpit that won't preach the word of God. Ain't nothing wrong, young men, with being a man, amen. It's a good thing, but even though here we are, here I stand before you today, knowing how important it is to be a manly man and to lead your family in the way of the Lord, there are times, amen, that fear gets a hold of me, amen. There are times that fear can consume me, amen. I think every one of us has dealt with it in some shape, form, or fashion, whether it's hardships on our family, whether it's a sickness that's overwhelming us, whether it's relationship that's been broken. Fear can take hold of an individual. It can overrun them, and it can overwhelm them. But I'm thankful tonight to tell you that we serve a God, amen, that is not overwhelmed by fear, amen. He is not consumed by anything, and when we come to him, glory to God, all that fear is broken because it is consumed, amen, by the grace of Almighty God, and we're freed, amen, by his mighty mercy. In Genesis chapter 35, Jacob feared not only for himself, but he also feared for his family. And I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of things I see in this old world today that makes me fear for my family. A lot of things. It ain't just an election, amen? I'm going to tell you. Told our church just a couple Sundays ago, there ain't no election going one way or the other going to make this country right. There ain't but one thing that'll make this country right, and that's for this country to turn back to the Word of God, amen. Not just use it, amen, for a lucky charm or something to turn to when you're right in front of the right crowd to say the right things, but it's something to believe in and to put into practice, amen. That's the only thing that's going to fix our country. But Jacob was in a time of fear for him and his family as well. I didn't want to preach this tonight thinking it being a baptism service, but the Lord just stirred my heart about it, Brother BJ. At the end of Genesis chapter 34, we can read the text and just hear almost the fear in Jacob's voice. See, his sons had went and they had avenged, I guess you would say, or gotten revenge for their sister, for some men that had taken advantage of her. They deceived the city. They overtook the city. They took all of their wealth, all of their goods, slayed all the men. And Jacob, at the end of Genesis chapter 34, was in fear for his own life and for his family's life. Says, Jacob said to Simeon and Levi in verse 30 of chapter 34, ye have troubled me to make me stink among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites, among the Perizzites, and I bring few in number. They shall gather themselves together against me and shall slay me. I shall be destroyed. In my house. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. God, and we thank you so much for this opportunity to preach your word. God, I'm thankful that you have appointed such a time for us to come together in unity and fellowship with other brothers and sisters in Christ and to celebrate my young son being born again. God, I thank you for this blessed people that are here and the family that is supporting and the folks that are praying. And God, I pray this morning that tonight, if there is an individual here that is bound up by fear, that God, they would take the direction and instruction that you give Jacob and his household and apply it to their lives so that those bonds of fear may be broken and they can live in the liberty that you have given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Jacob, ain't you thankful that God is not just God when things are good? Amen. I'm thankful that God is God all the time. Amen. I need him to instruct me when I think I'm doing right, and I certainly need him to instruct me when I know I'm doing wrong. Amen. And Jacob, we read there in chapter 34 and verse 30, of where he was in fear for his own life and for his family's life. But the Lord, see, in his mighty merciful way, amen, knows everything about every single one of us, amen. There is a lot of us, I'm going to tell you, can come to church. We can have our shirt tucked in, our pants creased, amen, our Sunday shoes on, our hair slicked back, and our face shaved, looking real good, while underneath the surface there are things going on that we don't make known to those that we fellowship with and set among. Amen. There is times that there is fear that consumes us on the inside, but although you may can hide it from all of the congregation around you, although your pastor may not be able to detect it, although his wife may not be able to detect it, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ knows everything about you, and I believe with all of my heart that he is willing to come and meet with you so know that he can take care of those things that trouble you and remove them from your life so that you can be the child of God that he has called you to be. Amen. I want to say tonight that fear has no place in the life of the believer. Amen. There's not but one that is to be feared, and that is our Father God. Amen. I am thankful tonight that he is the one that cares for us, that looks over us, that goes before us, and that protects us. But in 35 of verse 1, the first three words right there, just bless my soul, it says, and God said. Amen. I want you to know tonight that you may be living in a time of fear. You may be consumed by it. You may be bound by it. But God's word is what you need, amen, to turn to in a fearful time. Amen. I'm thankful that when I was a low-down, dirty dog sinner, that God said, amen. I'm thankful when I am bound by the things of this life and I am entangled by the yoke of bondage, that God's word said, amen. I'm thankful tonight that God came unto Jacob. I'm thankful that he has came unto me, and glory to God, by his grace I trust he will come to you. And God said. Jacob was a believer, amen. He may not have been called Israel yet, but he was still a believer. He's a picture of the twice born believer, amen. His daddy Isaac, I believe Jacob was his second son, amen. Esau, he showed Isaac's first nature, his flesh nature. And then here we see his spiritual nature. He was the second born, amen. It's a picture of the believer. And the believer, you can be sure tonight, is hindered by things in this life. But it's important for us to understand that there is a God in heaven, a God of all the world, that cares for us and desires for us to not live in fear. God's word in fearful times is vital. Isaiah 34 and 16 says, seek ye out the book of the Lord and read, and none of these shall fail you. Amen. I want you to understand this evening that nothing settles a troubled soul like God's word. Amen. I want to tell you, we live in a world that'll try to make you feel all alone, all by yourself. Nobody cares. Nobody loves you. Nobody cares for you. I reckon if you have came to God by faith, he says, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. Amen. I want to tell you something. Though all the world may forsake the church, God the Father will not forsake the church. Amen. That is settling to a troubled soul tonight. I want you to know that he ever remaineth with those that have called on his name by faith. His word is a settling word. Nothing settles the soul like God's word. I remember my daddy's here, and I was going through this, Brother BJ. And I remember when I was little, at that time, not putting anybody on the spot. We wasn't church going folk at that time. Amen. That just ain't where we were at. That ain't what was going on. Hey, but listen, I trusted in my daddy. Amen. And whatever he said, you could take it to the bank. That's just the way it was. Amen. I don't care. I don't care what it is. I remember when I was little, I used to be scared to death. This is a fear I had, brother. I was scared to death to go over a bridge. You remember this, Daddy? And Daddy would take advantage of that when I was a little bitty feller. And he would get to the middle of that bridge, and if there wasn't nobody coming, he'd slow down real slow, and he'd start saying, you feel this bridge moving? I think I feel it shaking underneath us. You remember doing that to me? And I'd be so scared. I'd be so unsettled. And he'd see the fear consume me, just poking at me and having a little fun. But before he'd drive off, he'd look at me and he'd say, no, I'm just kidding. Everything is okay. It's going to be all right. And there was something about his word, Brother BJ, that just settled my troubled soul. Amen. I want you to know tonight that if you have a troubled soul, if you are living in fear because of your situation, because of your circumstances, the word of God is here to settle you and to shore you up and to let you know that everything is going to be all right. God said unto Jacob, he said, arise and go up to Bethel and dwell there. Bethel, we know, if we've been in Sunday school, means the house of God. Amen. I'm going to tell you, we live in a time where we cannot neglect the house of God. Amen. I find it important right here that he says go and dwell there. Amen. He don't say go and visit there. Amen. That's why it's important to have a home church, folks. Amen. Not to have a place where you just go visit, but a place where you dwell. Amen. I can't tell you how important it is tonight to have a group of believers to come together in the fellowship with. Amen. Talk to them. Have confidence in them. Let them know what you're going through. Let them know the fears that's consumed you. Let them know what has overwhelmed you so that they can minister to you and they can lift you up. Amen. And they can encourage you in your walk with the Lord. He tells Jacob here, arise and go up to Bethel. Amen. I want you to know the church house is a place that lifts you up. Amen. It's not a place that beats you down, that drags you down, that makes you feel like a low down dirty dog. It's sin that does that. Amen. The church house is there to build you up and to encourage you and to help point you to the one and the only Lord Jesus Christ that can help you. Says, arise and go up to Bethel and dwell there. I think it's important in fearful times for us to stand firm. When I think about arising, I think that means to get up. Amen. I'm going to tell you, those pews have legs, but they ain't going nowhere. Amen. You don't have to sit on them to be sure they don't. I want you to know it's important when you get to the house of God for you to arise for Jesus. Amen. I want you to know when you arise for the Lord and you bless his name, I'm going to tell you it's going to bless you. Amen. When we get to the house of God, when we go up to the house of God, even in a state of fear, even in a state of turmoil, I want you to be sure that if you come to bless his name, he's going to bless your soul. Arise and go to Bethel. Don't you give up on your church, amen. Most of all, don't you give up on your Lord. I love the fact that he tells him to arise. You know what that means? That means he is sitting somewhere. That means he was stuck in a rut. Some of you may be stuck. You may be physically here, but you may be spiritually 100 miles away. Amen. It's time for you to arise and get up to the house of God. Amen. And let the Lord help you in your troubles. I want you to know, he tells him very plain. He says, when you get there, you make an altar. Amen. Make thee an altar is what he tells him. I reckon in that Old Testament, when we look at that altar, it's not a place of shame. Amen. You hear us preachers say this a lot, but it's so true. It don't matter how much it's preached on, it's so world, and that old devil will tell you a lie that this is a place of shame. I want you to know this old altar right here is a place of worship. Amen. He tells Jacob, get up, arise, and go to the house of God and worship. Amen. This is a place of worship. This is a place of blessing. This is a place of lifting up your voice, your hands and your feet, and worshiping the one that is sure to deliver you. Place of worship. It's so altar, I say this a lot, Brother BJ, I can't think of anywhere else in the world better to get saved than the altar. But God's people need to understand that the altar was made for God's people.
Yeah.
Amen. I want you to understand it ain't only for somebody to come up here because they've done wrong, amen, or because they're living in sin. As sometimes we just get overwhelmed with life, amen. It ain't because we've been out drinking the night before. It ain't because we've been looking at something we shouldn't be looking at. It ain't because we've been having a conversation we ought not be having. It's just sometimes life gets overwhelming, amen. And instead of just wanting more and wanting more and wanting more, when we take that overwhelming and we pour it out at the feet of Jesus, amen, and we worship his blessed name, our soul is blessed in return. Arise and go up to Bethel, and there make thee an altar, that God appeared unto thee. when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household. I think that's important, men, that we instruct our homes the way God instructs us. Amen. Some of us may say, well, I ain't no dictator, Brother Bradley. Well, if you don't want to be a dictator, you need to be a moderator. Amen. You know what a moderator does? He instructs the service and the order of what you are having going on. Amen. I want you to know we are doing more in our households, or should be, than raising a ball player. Amen. We ought to be raising servants of the true and living God, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And it's time for men, I believe this, even in a time of fear, to look at their families, amen, and direct them as the Lord instructs them. Jacob said unto his house. He had a Joshua moment right there. Amen. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Jacob is telling his house that they are going to serve the Lord. There was no question with Jacob and his household who was going and who was staying. There wasn't no question about it. Now, I've heard people say, well, they can reach an age, I need to let them make their own decision. I'm going to tell you, I reckon we were all born of a rebellious nature. Adam sinned. His son sinned. His son sinned. All the way down to me, I've sinned. Amen. And I'm a young man. You give me a choice, I'm probably going to sin. Amen. I don't know no better a lot of times. When it comes to living under one's household, I'm just going to say it, Brother BJ, there shouldn't be no question. Amen. Hey, was a friend of ours many years ago. She was a few years older than Casey and I, but we were so close to her and her fiance at the time. She was still living at home, almost 30-year-old, and her daddy had the rule, Brother BJ, as long as you live in this household, you're going to get up and go to church on Sunday morning, you're going to go back on Sunday night, you're going to attend Wednesday night Bible study, amen? I want you to know something. That young lady, she got saved. She got married. She was already saved. Her and her husband's raising up a little old boy, little old sweet little old boy, about the same age as Coop, and they are serving the Lord in their church, amen, with all of their heart. You can't tell me of the discipline her daddy had and the direction that he gave her and the example he set didn't have an effect on what they're doing today. He said unto his household and all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. It's two things he says right here I think we really need to pay attention to in verse 2. He says, put away and change. Let me tell you something, young folks. When you got a daddy that loves the Lord with all his heart, and he tells you of something in your life that you need to put away, you need to listen to him. Amen. Don't be rebellious and say, this is my life, I'm going to do what I want. You listen to that man of God. Amen. You take hold of what he is telling you, because he is trying to help you and save you from hurt down the road. Amen. He says, put away and change. Amen. I want to tell you, there's some things probably in my life too, Brother BJ, that I need to put away. Amen. That may not necessarily be sinful, but there may be taking away time that I need to be devoting to the Lord and his people. Amen. There's things that all of us need to put away. When I think about change, I think about repentance. Amen. I say this all the time. It's so important for the church to understand how important it is to repent. Amen. The last message to the church, I believe in the book of Revelation, it was to repent. Amen. That's what he told them. He said, get on your face and you ask for forgiveness. Amen. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to cleanse us of our sins, remove all unrighteousness. Amen. I want you to understand how when your parents call on you to change and to consider the things that you are partaking of in your life, don't be mad Don't be upset. You just trust them parents and follow their leadership, for they are instructing you the way the Lord's instructing them. Repent. How important it is to repent. We speak of Paul as some super saint. When Paul is self-professed, I'm the chief among all sinners. That means he said, I'm worse than every single one of them. You know what Paul did daily? I die daily. He repented. It's a scary thing when we find ourselves in a place where we feel like we don't need to repent anymore. Hey, I believe in the grace of God tonight, amen, and I'm saved. I am saved by it, amen. Glory to God. By the grace of God, He saved me, and He is teaching me to be a better me every single day, amen. Thank God. But I'm going to tell you, my old nature's still lingering around. That old dead man follows me every single place I go, and I want you to know he hinders me often. And it's important that we repent every single day, because there is something I'm sure that we have come short of. Repent. Put away and change. And let us arise and go up to Bethel. What a blessing it is for a man to be in church with his family. My daddy's here tonight with his family. My father-in-law is here tonight with his family. What a blessing it is to be in church and worship with your family. I look at a lot of friends around here in church with your family. You in church with your family. Man, praise God. Hey, just ain't nothing better than that this side of heaven than coming to the house of God and worshiping the one, the true and living Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He says, when I'll get there, I'll make an altar unto God. You know what that means? That daddy is going to lead them in worship. I'm going to tell you too much now. Too many times now we're waiting on our children to make a move, and we're not willing to make a move ourselves. It's real hard for these babies to learn how to worship when they got parents that won't worship themselves. Amen. I don't mean to be ugly, and I don't mean to be rude, and I don't mean to be, he may not ever ask me to come back and preach here again. I just want you to know that it's important that us as parents, that we worship the Lord, amen, because the Lord is worthy to be worshipped for it first and foremost, but number two, to show our children how to worship, amen. I hear preachers of old all the time talk about it, just it ain't like it used to be. Used to, the preacher could get up and preach, and you couldn't hardly hear him because of all the amens in the congregation. You had people standing outside with the windows raised just so they could hear the message. People hooping, people hollering, people shouting, people worshiping. It just ain't that way no more. I want to tell you, somebody somewhere forgot to teach that next generation how to worship. It's our responsibility, man, first and foremost. Mamas, it's your responsibility too. Amen. Is I'll make there an altar. Unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me in the way which I went. They had a daddy that testified of how good God had been. Jacob was willing to stand before his family and talk about how God answered his prayers in the day of his distress and how he was with him everywhere he went. Amen. I'm going to tell you something tonight. Our families, I believe this with all, I'm old school, I believe it with all of my heart. Men, this ain't a men's conference, and I ain't just picking on you daddies, but I'm a daddy, so I can pick on you because I'm picking on me too. Our families go as we go. You was appointed by God Almighty to be the spiritual leader of your house. And we're going to lead them one way or the other. Even in fearful times, it is our duty, our responsibility to lead them in the way of the Lord. Jacob had a responsibility. Praise God, he was willing. to obey the Word of God, follow the will of God, and fulfill the Word of God. Amen. I want you to know tonight that it is important that us as men of God, even in a fearful time, that we will stand up and we will lead our families the way God leads us. Understand tonight that it is important that your children see you pray other than just in the church house. Amen. It's important, men and women alike, for your children to hear you speak of the goodness of God other than in the church house. It's important that you take Jesus with you everywhere you go because He is with you everywhere you go. Boy, his family really respected him. In verse 4, after he tells them he's going to lead them in worship, and he's explaining to them that the God he is going to build this altar to, how worthy he is to be worshipped. In verse 4 it says, "And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hands, and all their earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem." I believe in the Old Testament we see a lot of New Testament teachings. It's a lot of shadows, I guess, and pictures and types of different things. But what I see here when I read this in Genesis chapter 35 and I read this text, I see this daddy taking his children to the foot of the cross. Amen. I want you to know he takes them there and he buries all of these sinful things, all of these wayward things, these things that have entangled them and have brought them into the place of worldliness. And he laid them at the base of a tree. Amen. He dug them down and he buried them. He took his family in a New Testament teaching to the foot of the cross. I want you to know, men, it's important that you take your family to the foot of the cross. Amen. And you go there and you visit often. When you visit the foot of the cross, you look up and you won't see a Savior hanging there. Amen. But what it'll do is it'll remind you of what He had done for you, of what He has done for your family, and what He has done for the sins of the world. Amen. And when you look up on that cross and you remember what He done, glory to God, you'll recognize that He's no longer there. Why is that, honey? It's because He's on the right hand of God. Amen. Alive forevermore. I'm making intercession for you and for me and for the whole world. Amen. I want you to know it's a blessing to go to the foot of the cross with your family and remind them of just how good God is. Last verse, and I'm going to close. And they journeyed. I'm going to tell you, as families, this thing is a journey. And your journeys ain't always easy. Hey, sometimes, man, they some hiccups. As several years ago, I'm going to share real quick, we took a vacation up to Pigeon Forge as a family. First time we'd ever been as a family. We struck out my pickup, man. We was all excited, had everything, you know, everything ready to go. Pickups cleaned up, everything packed away perfectly nice and neat. We go through Red Bay and we stop at my mom and dad's house to drop off our fourth kid, a four-legged dog. We drop her off, and she ain't a three-legged dog, she's a four-legged dog. We drop her off, and while we're there, it dawns on me, being a good daddy, I need to check this water and make sure it's good. I need to check my oil, make sure it's right. I open my cap up. I thought there may need to be a little bit of water there. I checked it, and we got everything where I thought we needed it to be. I slammed that hood, and we struck out. We got to Huntsville, Alabama, and I'm sitting in a red light, man. And they smoke just boiling over out from under my hood, and I just have a sickest feeling. Casey's panicking. The kids are wanting to know what's going on. We pull over. I forgot to put the cap back on the thing, and that water had boiled over. It was some sweet little old lady. She come up. She took me to AutoZone, and I got me another cap, and we put everything in it that needed to be put in it, and we struck back out on the road. And I'm like, honey, it's going to be all right. We'll be there in just a little while. We got somewhere up in Tennessee, and dummy me, I've known this all my life, Brother BJ. We get out at this gas station, and I told her, I said, hey, just for peace of mind's sake, I'm going to check the water in this thing, make sure it's good. And I know better than to kill it when I do that, but I did. I killed that thing at the gas pump. I popped that hood, and I got out, and I raised that thing. And when I twisted that cap off, it was boiling water popped all over me. My face was red. My hands was red. My arms was red. I was hurting. I'm telling my family everything's going to be all right. I find an O'Reilly's, and I go over there, and I get everything I need to put back in that truck that I had just let out ignorantly. We get back in that truck, and I don't stop again until we get to that cabin we're going to. That wasn't an easy journey. Boy, I was frustrated. I'm going to tell you. That was disappointing. Man, I was upset. It didn't go like I wanted it to. About a five-hour journey took us about nine, felt like. But there wasn't nothing in me that wanted my family to be disappointed. What we were doing and where we were going and how we were going. I wanted it to be a good memory for them. We got up there in that cabin that weekend. We had the best time. Had such a good time. We stayed up late. I don't ever do that. We slept in. We eat good. We played pool. We swam in that river. We drove through that park. We done everything that we knew to do and that we could do in that little old park. That journey wasn't easy getting there, but glory to God, it was worth it. Amen. I want you to know tonight, men, women, children, this journey that you are going through called life, it may not always be easy. It may not always go like you think it ought to go. There's going to be some hiccups, amen. There's going to be some times where the heat's going to be turned up on you. You're going to get uncomfortable. You're going to be bad, disappointed. You're going to be heartbroken. You're going to be in fear. But I want you to understand that if you have put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, He has gone before you, amen. And He is going to see for sure that this journey is going to be a successful one, amen. When we got up here to Tennessee, if my family wouldn't have been with me, I'd have turned that thing around. I'd have headed back south to Soldier, Alabama, just as fast as I possibly could. But I had four people depending on me to get them to a place, to a destination that they so desired to be, and I could not turn back then. Amen. I had to crank that truck. I had to head north and get to where we had set out for as quickly as possible. And they journeyed. And the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them. And they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. I'm going to tell you tonight, folks, God is good. If God be for us, I don't reckon anybody can be against us. I don't know how you normally close out, brother. If fear has consumed you, you're living in a state of turmoil. Things ain't what you think they ought to be. I want you to know tonight, God is still God. You've obeyed one commandment, and that was forsake not the assembling of yourselves. You're here tonight. Amen. You arose and go to Bethel. Yes, let us, for the next few moments, yes, I ain't a member here. My folks ain't a member here. My folks ain't a member here. But if we're all born again believers, we're all part of the same body. Let us make an altar. Worship the Lord for a little while. Amen. You may not need to be delivered from one thing tonight, but I want you to know the God that we are preaching of, that we serve, and that we know to be true is worthy to be worshipped. If you will, please stand with me tonight. Brother BJ, will you come? I don't know how y'all normally do the altar.